Well, good evening. I'm glad to welcome you to our worship service tonight, and especially glad so many of you came to, this is why we call it Makeup Church. You know, who knew the storm was going to come, and we're glad to have this second opportunity for us to worship. I'll also tell you that I know you, and I knew you weren't going to be sitting up here. So I decided early on not to use the pulpit and the lectern and stuff, and instead I have my Have Pulpit Will Travel music stand. And it will sit here as long as I need it to. So anyway, at least I won't, you know, be up there, is anybody here? So anyway, we'll work from here until it gets in the way, then I'll move it out the way. Don't forget that our flu shots are available next Sunday. You can sign up out here in the Narthex if you would like to get one here next Sunday. And disaster response. Many of you often like to respond to when there's natural disasters such as this storm. And as you know, up in North Carolina, it's really devastating right now. And the floods are still coming our way eventually. But if you'd like to do anything like that, use one of the envelopes in the pew and just mark it disaster response, or just put your check in and mark it disaster response, and we'll get it where it's supposed to go. Okay? Now, as you know, it is time for our stewardship campaign. Started last week, so I'll call on Preston and Connie, and we'll see what they have to say.
Yeah, we will. Hi, everybody. Doris Hawkins is also. Our stewardship campaign this year is called Thanks to You. And I guess the obvious entity we're referring to is Thanks to You, but we also want to emphasize our thanks to you. But first, our thanks to you. When we contribute to the operations of this church, either our time or our treasure or our talents, it is always a direct response to what God has first done. And you don't have to thank you for what He's done for us, short of
I will. Be glad to. And I'll be especially thankful if you don't write your thank you notes during the sermon. Some of you may wonder, before I jump into the service, how many we had here yesterday in the midst of the hurricane, storm, and stuff. We had 86 who came to church yesterday. And there are 31 here tonight. So, yay y'all. All right, let us rise and begin our worship. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. O Lord, when the waters rage and foam, when the gift of creation becomes burden, when our fears threaten to overtake us, speak your word to the wind and to the sea. Show us your care in the service of others. Make the joy of your peace overflow in our lives. Let us pray. Merciful God, hear our cry for mercy in the wake of wind and water. Reveal your presence in the midst of our suffering. Help us to trust in your promises of hope and life so that desperation and grief will not overtake us. Come quickly to our aid that we may know peace and joy again. Strengthen us in this time of trial with the assurance of hope we know in the death and resurrection of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Your word of peace stills the storms that rage in our world. Bring hope to places that know devastation in the calm after the storm. Bring comfort to those who grieve the loss of loved ones and property. Let your love be known through those who work to bring order in the chaos. Help us to shoulder the burden of suffering and make us bearers of hope that can be found in you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. A reading from Isaiah. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah.
Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. It's called the Hillbilly Love Poem, and I laugh every time I read it. For some reason, this just tickles me. Here it is. Susie Lee done fell in love. She planned to marry Joe. She was so happy about it all, she told her pappy so. Pappy told her, "Susie gal, you'll have to find another. I'd just as soon your ma don't know, but Joe is your half-brother." So Susie put aside her Joe and planned to marry Will. But after telling Pappy this, he said, "There's trouble still. You can't marry Will, my gal, so please don't tell your mother. But Will and Joe and several mo I know is your half-brother." But Mama knew and said, "My child, just do what makes you happy. Marry Joe or marry Will. You ain't no kin to Pappy." Can't believe I actually just told that in a sermon. But the truth is that right there at the very end of that poem, Susie finds out something about herself that she had never known before. Susie learns a lot about who she really is. And that's what happens for us in our gospel reading for today as well. The question may be about who Jesus is, but in the end, we find out most of all who we are. Jesus and his disciples were on the way to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, which was a city associated with a long list of pagan gods. And along the way, Jesus asked his followers, "Who do people say that I am?" Well, there had been a lot of speculation. People talking and wondering, and the disciples reported on what they had heard people saying. "Some say you are John the Baptist, come back to life," they answered. "And others say you are Elijah, who's supposed to come back before the Messiah. And still others say you are a prophet." Then Jesus asked the important question, "Who do you say that I am?" Who do you say that I am? That gets right to it, doesn't it? Now, with Peter, we know the answer. The problem is that lots of times our lives don't show the answer. Who do you say that I am? Jesus asks us. And you see, our answer to that question says an awful lot more about us than it does about Jesus. It leads to all sorts of other uncomfortable questions. What do our choices say about who we say Jesus is? What do our checkbooks say about who Jesus is for us and the place Jesus has in our lives? How does our use of time reflect who Jesus is in our minds? What does how we give to others or how we live in understanding and compassion or even how we attend church say about who Jesus is for us? Our priorities tell the tale, don't they? Well, the truth is that sometimes our lives do show Jesus to be our God, but it's just as true that many times our choices and our actions don't. Who do you say that I am? Jesus asks us. And it's a good question. It's not asking about Jesus. It's asking about you. We're a lot like Peter. Remember what happened in the story next? Jesus tells them that he will suffer and die, and Peter scolded Jesus for talking like that. And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." And that's just our problem, too. Our choices, our priorities far too often show that our minds are focused on human things when our call is to focus on God. Maybe we need to go back to preschool. Last Monday, I was here in the sanctuary to lead the children for preschool chapel, as I do every Monday. It's always an amazing time as I gather with more than 30 children right up here on the steps, and we sing songs and pray, and I share a children's Bible storybook with them. This past Monday, I shared a story called Noah's 2x2 Adventure. And we talked about the animals on the ark and all that happened with Noah and how the rainbow was a sign of God's continued promises to us. We ended, as we always do, with prayer and singing Jesus Loves Me. And then it was time for them to go. This is always when the chaos ensues. I sit still while 30 or more preschoolers all get up all at the same time and mingle around trying to find their teachers so they can go back to their classroom. Sometimes it's so chaotic, I'll say goodbye to the same kid 3 or 4 times as she wanders around and passes me again and again. This past Monday, a couple of the classes were already gone, but one set of teachers was having a bit of trouble corralling their kids. Finally, one of the teachers looked at me and said, "We're learning how to get in line." Well, maybe that's what we need to learn too. We need to get in line with Jesus. We need to let Jesus be our line leader and follow in his steps. In line with Jesus, our minds can focus on divine things. In line with Jesus, we are loved and cared for. In line with Jesus, we have purpose and direction. In line with Jesus, we live for others. In line with Jesus, we know who we are. In line with Jesus, we are made new. In line with Jesus, we're given a fresh start and a new identity. We are a child of God, made new to live God's way and loved forever. Who do you say that I am? Jesus asks us. It's a good question. Get in line with Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Merciful God, we thank you for these sisters and brothers whom you have made your own by water and the word in baptism. You have called them to yourself, enlightened them with the gifts of your Spirit, and nourished them in the community of faith. Uphold your servants in the gifts and promises of baptism, and unite the hearts of all whom you have brought to new birth. We ask this in the name of Christ. I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God? Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God? Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God? Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You have made public profession of your faith. Do you intend to continue in the covenant God made with holy baptism to live among God's faithful,
to hear the word of God,
share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth? People of God, do you promise to support and pray for one another in your life in Christ? Let us pray.
We give you thanks, O God, that through water and
Holy Spirit, you give us new birth, cleanse us from sin, and raise us to eternal life. Stir up in your people the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Almighty God, we are lost without you. Thank you for finding us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for your generous love which comes to us no matter how far we wander away from you. Walk with us in every moment of life that we may feel close to you always. Lord, in your mercy. Living Savior, we have been rocked this week by the winds and rains of Hurricane Florence. And while things turned out not so badly here, in places not so far away, lives have been lost and shattered, and hearts were fearful and afraid. Battered by wind and waves, we turn to you, Lord God. Be our strong refuge and very present help in trouble. Give comfort and aid to those who have suffered in this storm. Be with and bless emergency workers and all who put themselves at risk to help those in need. Lead us to reach out in love and mercy and generous help. Bind us together in your love, and give us courage and strength in you. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, bring your compassion on all who are hungry, who are poor or ill, all who are lonely or far from home. Bring your healing, your help, and your strength to uphold us. Bless all your people, and especially those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our
God of us all, bless now your family here. Lead us in our living, that all we are might reflect your love and your light. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share God's peace.
The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you. body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Jesus Christ, host of this meal, you have given us not only this bread and cup, but your very self, that we may feast on your great love. Filled again by these signs of your grace, may we hunger for your reign of justice. May we thirst for your way of peace. For you are Lord forevermore. Amen. Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, keep you in his light and truth and love, now and forever. Amen.
Son of God, to you we No, ma'am, I did. But I...